We have a play dealing with the very many mystical aspects of water coming up for you, presented by Theater Huntsville. It's called The Diviners. I just so happen to have two of the cast members here with me today to talk about this wonderful play. They are Francisco Melhoff and Corbin Holland. And gentlemen, I want to welcome you to our studios. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Now, The Diviners, I was reading, I had not heard of this play when Colleen Samples emailed me and asked me to do this interview. I hadn't heard of this play, and then I was fascinated to find out that it has something to do, I believe it was written under the auspices of the American College Theater Festival, which, as I remember and as I know for a fact, has been going on for a very, very long time. When I was a girl in high school, I participated, and my mom participated back when she had gone back to college to do her speech and drama degree. This was also very long ago, before you were ever born, so I won't even tell you when that was, but it was way long ago. So American College Theater Festival has been going on for quite some time, and they are interested in doing quality theater on college campuses and getting people into the whoever wins the contest actually goes to Washington, D.C. to Nationals to play. So this piece of theater that you're doing here, The Diviners by Jim Leonard, is an actually quite a substantial work of theater. Can you tell me how did Theater Huntsville pick this one this time? Because I know Theater Huntsville does a lot of comedy. This one is a little bit more serious, and I was just wondering how you decided on this piece.
Yes, well, I've performed in this play before. Mm-hmm. I was actually in high school. That was when I first met our director, Jake Barrow. And he, back then and even today, he'll tell you this is his favorite play.
Mm-hmm. Really?
This is his number one. So I assume that had something to do with why we went this direction. And I'm hoping to do just as well, if not better, than I did those many years ago in high school.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like it's something that really resonates with him, and it looks like a fascinating play. They call it a slice of life piece of theater. That it's very realistic.
Yes.
It will show you some real people. The characters are going to be really real, and these people in this town are going to show up as, there's nothing fakey about them. They're real, actual people, and good people. And everybody wants something, and it's all moving in a direction. And I'm not going to give too much away, but it's just kind of a slice of life piece of theater. Francisco, if you'll tell me what part you're playing in this piece.
Sure, I'm playing Buddy Lehman. He's a 14-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Who has a couple things going on with him. First off, he is deathly afraid of water. Mm. He does not like it. He stays away from it. Unless it comes in the form of a root beer soda, he is not going to get near it.
So he's kind of like a cat, I guess.
That's right. The other issue is when he was young, the reason that he's so afraid of water is that he almost drowned as a child.
Hmm.
And so he carries that fear with him throughout his entire life.
Hmm.
And also he doesn't quite understand the concept of his mother being gone.
Hmm.
So he's still looking for his mom. He believes that she's out there somewhere, and he just needs to find her.
Right.
So those two big elements are what make up pretty much all of Buddy and what he's trying to accomplish and stay away from in this play.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And was this the part that you played before?
Yes.
Wow.
Same part.
So you're very well acquainted with it. Corbin, mm-hmm. What part are you playing in this show?
I am playing the part C.C. Showers, and he is a 30-year-old disenchanted preacher from Hazard, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes from a long line of preachers. They've all, his father, grandfather, they were all preachers. And he did it for 12 years and decided that he went through somewhat of a midlife crisis at 30 years old, mm-hmm. and decided just up and leave. And he just left and started wandering the countryside. This is the 1930s in the Depression era, and looking for work. Couldn't find work for 3 months, and he lands in Indiana and meets Buddy and his father, Ferris, played by Mel White, and Jenny May, that's his sister, played by Summer Guffey. And he takes on, he gets work there in a garage, And basically, the entire show, he befriends Buddy and is trying to get him to take a bath. He's trying to get him. That's pretty much my motivation the entire show. And the townspeople, their entire motivation is to get me to preach in their town, which I don't want to do.
Okay. So everybody has a different agenda, and everybody's trying to work on the other people to get what they want. Yes. Kind of like real life, actually. Yeah. So it seems like this would be a wonderful piece for theater, and indeed it's been very well received. The Diviners, is what we're talking about, and The Diviners will be presented for you beginning March 16th, going through the 24th, at the Von Braun Center Playhouse, brought to you by Theater Huntsville. If you'd like to get a little more information, you can just Google Theater Huntsville, and theater in this case is spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E. They are also on Facebook under Theater Huntsville. And if you want to get tickets, there's a number here. It's 256-536-0807. The Diviners, a serious play, I think probably recommended for maybe older teenagers or adults, basically.
But it has quite a few comedy elements as well.
Oh, okay.
I would not say it's completely serious.
Okay, very cool. So a little comic relief in
not
the show.
Not a little.
Somewhere.
I would say quite a bit. It's just, but there, when it hits a serious note, it's very serious.
Right.
So
the people have different facets. They're not just, this is not a depressing play about the depression. This is about real people who are doing all kinds of different things. Okay. I'm interested to know your character's relationship, a little bit more about your character's relationship, since how do you guys actually meet in the play? What happens, if you can tell it without giving too much away?
Well, Buddy was just sweeping his porch.
Minding his own business.
Yep.
And Cece just came kind of drifting along.
I was lost. I'm lost.
Not drifting like in the water, though, like a drifter.
Right. Just drifting around.
Right.
Drifting down the street. Okay.
So, Cece, I mean, you're looking for work, right?
Yes.
You're just kind of you're traveling. I don't know. And he sees Buddy, and he just sees this opportunity to maybe, you know, get a handout. Because back then it was very difficult, and if you didn't have a job, you had no money, you had nothing.
Right.
So here comes this starving man, shows up on my porch, and is looking for a job. So basically, that's the first time they meet, and then I guess right off the bat they get really well acquainted. Even one line, he refers to me, Buddy, as pal. Buddy's never had a pal. So it's very significant. It's like, you know, someone just called me a friend, and I've never had one before. So I almost grab on to Cece immediately, and I kind of take him around, show him around. And we build this bond from there. And he discovers that I have this fear of water. And you know, as a good friend, as a good person, he tries to help me get over that fear.
Right.
Well, he develops a very bad rash.
That's true. That doesn't help.
Yes, and so, we're basically trying to cure him of that rash throughout the entire show.
Right.
So
now, Corbin, your part as the preacher who is sort of disillusioned with what he's doing, trying to find a new...
Ex-preacher.
Ex-preacher.
Yes. Former preacher.
Former preacher. Come to find out, I guess people find out about this, and they have a whole different concept of what you're all about in the play.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to do this other thing. Do you find that people are, I guess that's sort of the dynamic that operates throughout the play, in that people have a little springboard for all of the things that they want, trying to get the other people to do all these other things. Do you see yourself as kind of a con man in this play?
No, he's not really a con man. No, Cece, he was very good at preaching, and he was expected to preach.
Right.
He was raised on the Bible. He gave it his best shot. He did it for 12 years, and he finally said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Right.
So he leaves, and he finally, when he gets to this town, he makes it very clear he doesn't want to preach anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Ferris, his dad, Buddy's dad, accepts him for that and allows him to work in the garage. But everyone else in the town, they just will not accept the fact that he does not want to preach anymore, and they're just constantly every scene coming at him, trying to get him. I mean, they won't listen to him is right. the theme that keeps coming up over and over and over and over again.
So he's basically trying to change from
yes,
what he was before.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Looking to start again.
Start again.
Right.
I'm going to start all again, Nipsey. Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. Then I feel like the theme of water is, of course, the very basis of this play and so important to... but it doesn't seem like, I don't know, this is where it looks like a contradiction for me, because if people are tugging and pulling on each other to get each other to do things, they're not really going with the flow. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's right.
And so you have this special child, this guy named Buddy. He's a special child with a special gift of being able to find water, but yet at the same time, in a very contradictory light, he's terrified of it. And so mm-hmm. you have this push and pull kind of thing. And I guess that's where the water theme really comes in with his particular relationship to it. And you have the push and pull of all the characters. And of course, again, I don't want to say how it ends up. I'm not going to give any spoilers. But have you found that there was a lot of creative tension, maybe I should say, or just trying to choose between creative possibilities in your creation of these roles with all of that pulling and tugging that everybody's doing? How did you manage all of that during the play? Corbin, I'll start with you.
Honestly, I think Francisco should start this.
Oh, okay. Let's do that.
Okay.
That's perfect. Let's do that.
All right. So, the way you prepare or develop this relationship, especially with Buddy, because he has this, you know, sixth sense to find water.
Mm-hmm.
Just follow what Jake tells you to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's really good. It's just really good directing. He's very open to new ideas and new approaches, but he also gives you a good he's a good guide in helping you find who exactly this character is and how to bring it to light the best you can. You have to not be scared to look silly, that's for sure.
Right. Right.
Have to kind of like waddle my feet, you know, kind of like a kid who doesn't know how to walk straight. You know, he's a young man, so he's trying to be like his dad, but he's also he's scared of almost everything. And I mean, it starts storming and you just start seeing panic settle in, and you just have to be ready to ready for those cues, and you know, he's itching all the time, so keeping all these different things in mind helps you kind of lock in that character.
Wow. So it was a big transformation for you to
yes.
step into the body of this person and
oh, yeah.
to step into
character,
that.
He's completely different, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how did you find moving into your character, Corbin? What were the differences for you compared to you as a real person, and what kinds of changes did you have to make?
What changes did I have to make?
Or is this guy a lot like you, actually?
He is in a lot of ways, actually. I don't. He's a lot angrier than I tend to get. So he's angry a lot in this show. He yells quite a bit.
I would yell too if people weren't listening to me when I told them to stop trying to make me a preacher.
Because no one's listening to me, and everyone's pushing me around all the time.
Right. So he has a lot of conflict with the other characters, and then trying to resolve things for himself, I'm sure, and get settled for himself.
But honestly, yeah, it really, I mean, there's a lot of similarities between myself and this character, to be honest. Even with my own life being brought up, in my own, the religion that I was raised on, it's very similar. Of course, I'm not a preacher, but, you know, I've questioned things from time to time. Mm. As he does.
So I'm sure these roles are very meaningful for both of you in very different ways. We're talking about The Diviners, which is set in the 1930s and will be presented for you by Theater Huntsville at the Von Braun Center Playhouse on March 16th, beginning March 16th, going through the 24th. You can find information at Theater Huntsville on Facebook, and that's spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E in this case. I have just one more question. question for you gentlemen. And this being a period piece, being something set in the 1930s, how did that affect your performance of the play? Are you doing it period or with respect to the history and stuff? Of course, people are going to be very different in the 1930s than they are now. What kinds of things were opened up to you in your personal horizons trying to represent people from this very, very difficult time in our history as Americans? Was there anything that that you sort of maybe realized or went through, or I'm sure you're really glad that you didn't live back then because it was really so difficult, and just anything like that that you'd care to comment on?
So first I would like to bring up Wanda Whitmer. Mm-hmm. She's in charge of props. Mm-hmm. And she went all out.
Wow.
Almost everything is very similar to the way it was. The beer bottles, the alcohol flasks, and mm-hmm. just wow. all the props that you see were, there was detail put into making sure that they looked like they would back then. Mm-hmm. Like even there's the wild root cream oil mm-hmm. tonic bottle is almost identical to the way it looked back then. So mm-hmm. a lot of attention was put into making it look like the 30s. We haven't changed any of the script, the way it's worded. So this is the way it was written, the way they talked back then.
Right.
And I mean, there's even reference to President Hoover, you know, being the cause of all our nation's problems.
Wow. So you're right there.
So there's a lot of references to the time period, and I think it definitely makes you feel like you're there.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like a beautiful piece of theater, and I'm real happy to talk to both of you guys about it. I want to thank you for spending some time with me today on the air to talk about this piece.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. My guests today, Francisco Melhoff and Corbin Holland of Theater Huntsville's presentation of The Diviners.